Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is August the 8th, and today we'll be talking about how to work with high-level athletes, and that's any level, elite athletes in high school or college or Olympians, professional athletes. So we'd like to get your perspective on that and your experiences, as well as give you some tips about you know, how to find professional athletes to work with, and talk about my strategies for getting in the door and how to do your research before talking to your athlete and then having your first conversation. And we'll talk about overcoming fears working with elite athletes, and also do's and don'ts working with athletes, top-level athletes of all sorts, and top mistakes that I've made and others have and what to do instead. And then we'll discuss how to keep your high-level athletes coming back and where and how to get, you know, powerful career-changing testimonials from your athletes. And then, because that can really make a difference in building your credibility. And then also ethics, working with high-level athletes. So, we've got people are just coming on the call. You know, Pam Gundlach's here, right? Welcome, Pam.
Yes. Hi. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi. And did you say you want to just report on your progress? You said you did your Vermont workshops, and then you were looking to do those again. Is that right? Or to do another?
Yeah, hoping to do that again. Yeah. They're pretty much done with their season. They actually had four athletes picked from this organization for the regionals, which is more than they've ever had. So hopefully,
wow.
Also due to the mental skills training part, and so then he just has to look at his numbers and decide what he wants to do for next season. And hopefully, I'm on.
Wow.
On program, so
yeah,
it was good.
So that, and that's for soccer, right? All soccer?
Yes, elite soccer academy.
Yeah, and they were flying you back there to Vermont once a month, is that right?
Well, yeah, once a month for six straight months. So hopefully it'll be the same thing next year. So then they can learn it kind of in the off season and in their practice season, and then really apply the skills and then be ready to go once their tournament, big game season starts. So
yeah, that's great. And so you've got they've got four athletes that went on to what level did you say?
To the Northeast regional play. So it's Vermont, and then they play all the Boston area, actually Pennsylvania, the whole New England area. And so they get picked then for regional teams that then go on for. So I guess they make a whole regional team that then represents probably the New Englands and then play against other regions in the country. So,
yeah, so that's more than they've ever had before, you said?
Yeah, it is. So, and then so far this organization, one of their goals is to place all their players into college-level hockey, college-level soccer, if that's what they are aiming for, and most of the kids are, to get on some college team. And their placement rate so far is 100% of kids going to college and getting placed on team soccer teams at some level, D1, D2, it seems like it's mostly D3, but there's some D1 players also. But
wow.
Levels, so, yeah.
100% is pretty darn good.
Yeah, so...
So if you can, since you said that they, had the four athletes went on to the regional team and that they credited, you know, in part your mental skills training to that, is that right?
Well, they haven't, I think they would, but what I need to do and what you were going to say is to get testimonials from those kids, so... Yeah, so I got to contact the director and just say, so who are the kids that made it, and can I contact them?
Yeah. You could also, get a testimony from the school, from the elite soccer academy.
From the director.
What's that?
From the director of the academy, that's what I need to do. So
yeah, if he's the one that said that four athletes went on to the Northeast Regional team, and that they that's the most they've ever had, and that's in the period that you were doing the mental skills training. There's probably a correlation there. And that he's happy with your work kind of thing. So if you can just have him say that in a either you know, text is good, audio is better, video is even best. And, you know, you could start with text and just have them write. Usually one way to do a testimonial is just ask, you write something out and say, here's what I had in mind, you know, to make it easy for you. Just a you could call it a comment as opposed to a testimonial or something. Could I get a comment from you about my work there at the academy? And then you could do one or two, comments. Just write something out yourself and say, let me know if this sounds okay. Or you could, feel free to change anything or write your own. You know, that gives them flexibility, kind of thing. You could do that, or you could call them on the phone and record. Ask if you could kind of do a little interview with them, and if you could record the conversation and just ask about your work there and what you did and all, and ask them to talk about that. So that's another way, to get something. But, you want to get them while they're hot, so to speak. The sooner the better. If you wait a long time, then the excitement, wears off a little bit. So it's good to do it right after, when they're feeling the good, when they have some good results, right?
Yes.
So and even better is if you get a chance to see the director, to say or if he says something about these four athletes went on to the regional team, you could just say just wondered if I could do a quick video with you, video interview. Interview is like a kind of accepted term and for people, and just say just ask them a question while you're holding the camera, kind of thing. It could be just your iPhone or something too, and formal, and say what kind of results do you feel you had from my work here at the Elite Soccer Academy, and just have them say a few comments. It doesn't have to be long, just a few sentences or something. You know, just depending on your relationship with him, and is it a woman or man?
Man.
So,
he's the director as well as pretty much the head coach of all of the teams too. So then he has some assistant coaches. So.
If he's willing to do that, it's really great to say. Most people would say yes, I think, there and. If you're in a meeting or something like that, that's a great time to get a nice testimonial. So that's great. Congratulations on that. And so you're going to do another proposal for next year for getting in?
Yes. Yeah. Working on that now. Now that he's kind of in his down season, he said, I'll look at planning for next year. And this is actually August last year is when he contacted me, and I gave him the proposal for last year too. So now the cycle's starting again.
So what you want to do too is, you probably thinking of this already, is just think of what you did this last time, and then there's probably lots of results that you got, or what improvements that you saw in the athletes. And just write those down and things that you, not only external kinds of, scoring improvements, that kind of thing, also just internal improvements and, what you saw, changes in the kids there and all.
And then my hope is then to build on, because the idea is most kids return for another year, and so it would be then kids that have had kind of the introduction, and so then I can go deeper and do a lot of the stuff too this year. So that's what I would like to do, is refresh and build more on what I taught them last year. So that's my hope.
Yeah, that's great. So, yeah, think about what you taught this year and then how you could go deeper into those concepts, maybe more tips,
yeah,
more problems, issues that came up and all.
Yes.
So great. Yeah. Well, thanks, Sam. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, just let me know about that. Did someone else just come on the line?
Yeah, it's TJ. Hi.
Oh, hi, TJ. How are you?
I'm doing great. How is everybody?
Good.
Good, good. Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, people are just coming on the line here. And so it's great to, yeah, are you,
yeah.
TJ, are you just back, probably back from some exotic vacation?
I did a 50K in Iceland in July, and then last weekend I ran around Mount Hood, which is a 41-mile trail run.
Oh, this
nice.
Is in Iceland.
Yeah, it
wow,
was great.
That sounds pretty exotic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, it was very hard, but very fun, and my mental training came very much in handy during the run. That was really interesting.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
Do you have photos and stuff you can that are on your website, or do you share?
They're not on my website yet. They're on my Facebook pages.
What's your Facebook page called?
Yeah, well, it's TJ Ford, and then I have Run Amok Tours Facebook page. So if you go and like that, you can see the pictures. And one of the guys I met took a video of the race, and that's really cool. So yeah, I highly recommend looking at the pictures. It was pretty epic.
How do you spell Run Amok?
R-U-N-A-M-O-K.
A-M-O-K?
Yeah, so it's run. It's three words, Run Amok Tours. That's the page on Facebook.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Look for that, yeah.
So it was great. And something went wrong with my calf at about mile four, and so I had to completely talk myself into staying in the race. And, like, it was really interesting mentally. It was a mental race for me, not a physical one, so...
four, that's really early on. In the-
I know. It's when you still have 30 miles to go, it's like,
And it was a race, was it, or just a run?
Yeah, it was an ultramarathon, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, and you were able to get from mile four all the way to the end?
Yep, I finished, and I wasn't
so
even last.
You can share with us how you talked to yourself into being able to finish the whole thing?
Yeah, I just said, you know, I can't stop. I didn't come this far just to stop, and I'm going to just keep walking, and I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and if I get pulled from the course because I don't make the time limit, then I get pulled, but I just have to keep moving forward. And it was like I would run when it didn't hurt, and then I would stop when it did hurt, and then I would, you know, like I just kept saying, I have to keep moving forward. I have to keep moving forward. So,
yeah.
And then I just broke down, like the last kilometer, I was just in tears, like crying, like, I can't do this. I can't finish. It's like it's 1 kilometer. I could crawl 1 kilometer.
Yeah.
I'm fine. So it was really, I mean, I mentally really, you know, stayed strong. So it was a really interesting, I was kind of watching myself like, oh, I'm still mentally in this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I just didn't let myself think about the options of not finishing, you know. You have to finish. You just finish. So.
Yeah.
That
wow.
was very interesting.
Fantastic, yeah. And when you're walking or going slower, you can see a lot more, right? You know, that's one advantage. You think, oh, what's good?
Yeah, yeah, and I took a bunch of pictures. But, I'm trying to do a write-up of it and just kind of talk about the whole mental aspect of it because it's really probably the strongest race I've ever done just from a mental standpoint. Like, it would have been really easy to fall apart. But I think, you know, working with people and working with this stuff and just kind of knowing this stuff that we talk about every couple of weeks, it makes a huge difference. That kind of, you know, to do this kind of mental training over a period of time as opposed to just doing it like 2 weeks before your race, which some people say, I mean, I have clients say, yeah, I don't need to do that right now. I'll do it, you know, 2 weeks before my event. And it's like, I don't think that's effective. You know, I think you have to do it just like you train. Like, you know, set up a schedule and do it for months and months.
Right, exactly. That's great. In fact, I have clients that ask me about, you know, what should my mental training schedule be? You know, you can create a mental training schedule for them just like you do a physical training schedule. And they ask, well, when should I listen to my MP3s and which one should I listen to? And, you know, you can get really specific kind of thing.
I think it's really important to get clients to understand that this is a long-term training program just like the physical stuff that we do.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't cram this in the last 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just incorporated into your lifestyle kind of thing. Because if you don't, you figure, if you don't work on something like this positively, then you're probably, your mental training is going to be the negative kind that most of us.
Yeah. And also, you know, like this mental training stuff, you can do it anywhere. Like you can listen to a CD in your car, you can do it when you're on a run, I just do it, you know, like I'm standing at the microwave, like, you know, for a minute, like you just visualize something, and so it's much easier than, like, getting the bike out to go for a ride or going for a run or, you know, putting on your clothes to go for a swim. I think it's easy to, you can just do little bits of this.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Microwave mental training.
Yeah. You know, 1 or 2 minutes a day. There you go.
Microwave your mind.
So.
That's good, yeah.
Anyway, that's been my interesting experience.
Yeah, great. And the fact that you're doing this yourself and practicing the mental training, and then you can do a write-up about it, it's like, it makes you the perfect person to be able to train other people to do it because they realize that this is something that everyone needs to do. And you can be a model. So, that's great. So I wanted to talk, thanks, TJ, and thanks, Pam, for sharing your experiences. And I think Ryan Lawyer is going to be coming on the call here shortly, too, and some other people. So, I wanted to talk about all these different topics, how to work with top athletes and strategies for getting in the door. And what's going on right now is, the World Championships in the sport of track and field is the World Championships are coming up in Moscow, Russia. And so I just wanted to give you an update on my work with athletes there and how that came about and kind of give you some ideas how you might work with athletes, how you can take one athlete and actually, if they're doing well in the sport, you can follow them through, the Olympics, the World Championships, and other Olympics. And, you could get a lot of you can help one athlete through a lot of big events and then get, great testimonials that way and build your credibility. So, for instance, Shannon Roberry, I started working with, she's going to be competing in the World Championships in track and field. She just flew to Moscow yesterday, Russia, and I started working with her, a year ago for the Olympics in London. And that just came about by, and this is something you could do, is just, the way it came about was just knowing someone else, a guy named Mark that was a media person that I'd known for a while, just knowing people in your field, in your sport, and asking who might need help with, mental training. And it turns out that I had my hip, broke my hip, 2 years, almost 2 years ago now, with in that bicycle accident, and my friend Mark, who's a media person, said, "Well, Shannon Roberry actually broke her hip too earlier on, and you might contact her to ask her about the exercises she did and stuff." And he gave me her number and cell phone and email. But I never contacted her. I just, you got to follow up on these things. That was one mistake I made initially. But it worked out anyway because I just, right before the Olympics, NBC wanted to do a story on me and my work with Olympic athletes. And I had five athletes I was working with at the Olympics in London, but none of them were San Francisco Bay Area athletes, and NBC local here was interested in, you know, Bay Area athletes, and they said, well, do you have a Bay Area athlete you're working with? I thought, oh, my God, I've got to find one. and then I remembered that this media friend had told me that Shannon had, you know, gave me her number and that she'd broken her hip. We had something in common earlier, and then she just the day before she just made the Olympic team, and so I emailed her and I called, and she actually, you know, then returned my call, which was, you know, she was leaving the next day for London for the Olympics. The chances of her calling back someone brand new is just you know, probably next to none. It was just like a miracle. But she, you know, I left a message. I said, oh, hi, Shannon. I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. And, you know, Mark connected us. And I thought I'd like to be able to offer, you know, make you an MP3 and do some, you know, help you with the mental training part for London. If you're not working with someone, you know, for mental training and sports psychology, and, you know, here's my number, and feel free to give me a call here. I know you're leaving soon for London. So I just left that kind of message, just something real open and friendly, and also put in the benefits. If you're going to leave a message, you want to, you know, say something about how they can benefit from it, that, you know, that I know you want to do your best in London and you know, be able to get through the tough times in the race and your 1,500-meter race, and try to be really specific to them and what you know about their needs. You know, I knew she's running the 1,500, and that she, you know, that it's, you have a lot, and anything you know about that particular sport or that particular event is good to put in your message too. You know, that when you're in the 1,500, you can get boxed in, and there's lots of crowding going on the track, and it can be really, you know, anxiety provoking. So if you can put in things like that and say that it's, you know, present the problems, because people will work with you if they feel like you can solve their problem. You know, and so I said, help you be more relaxed on the track and be able to stay out of, stay clear of the trouble so you can, you know, run your best. So I left that message, and then she called back an hour later or so and said, wow, I just, you know, I really have always wanted to work with someone. I'm really interested in sports psychology. I've studied it in the past and really want to work with someone in that area. And so, yeah, it would be great. So I said, well, why don't we do a session right? We could do one right now or in an hour from now. She said, I'm going to the gym, but I'll call you back in an hour. So then an hour later, we actually did our first session on the phone right there. And she was leaving, yeah, in a day or two for London. So it was just in the nick of time. So sometimes it's, and also just know that athletes, top athletes, tend to you know, go way early to their events. So if it's like an event is a month from now, like let's say the Olympics are a month from now, the athletes might be leaving, and it's in Europe, like this was in London. Oftentimes athletes will leave for London, for Europe, a whole month early. So you don't want to wait till, you know, just a week or two beforehand. She was leaving, you know, a whole month early to be over there to acclimate and to do other races in Europe. Catch them before they leave, because once they've left to go to Europe, then they're usually off doing other things and don't have as much time. So we were able to create a relationship really quickly. And then actually NBC was able to do an interview with us, with me working with her. I went up to her house in San Francisco, and we did a session there, and they filmed some of that, and it worked out so well that they said, you know, we'd like to follow you to London for the Olympics and do another shoot there, video and all. And so because we had that relationship, you know, formed very quickly right beforehand, It worked out that I was that we were able to, you know, then NBC did another filming in London during the Olympics. So what happened after that, what you want to do is make sure you get their Skype name, share what your Skype name is, so because often athletes are going to other countries, and so they're, you know, it's expensive to call by phone. And so if you got their Skype name, then it's free, and everyone is on Skype these days. So you get their Skype name and their and then share yours, and then what you'll do is just if you're not on Skype, then it's real simple. You just go to Skype.com, S-K-Y-P-E.com, and set up a free account there, and then it takes 30 seconds, and then you're on Skype. And then you just go on the left-hand side and search for someone. And if you have their Skype name or their email, you can put that in, search for them, and then you just send them an invite and that you'd like to be in their contacts. And if you've got formed a relationship with them, then even a short-term one like we had done, then they'll contact you back and just say accept your invitation, and then you're in their contacts. So then you can easily call them by Skype, and you can also send IMs, instant message. You can just basically go into the chat box there in Skype, and you can communicate that way as well as by email or texting. Skype gives you another way to communicate with these top athletes that's easy. And so we would oftentimes they'll check their Skype chat box there, more often than they will other things. So it's a really great way to communicate with athletes. And then so what I would do is I'd go online and find out, usually they're so busy, then when they're going to other countries and competing and getting ready for a major event, that they, don't have time to do a lot of communication. But if they find that, your session is really valuable, then they'll, make time, say, once a week or to do a session. So I would go online and do my research and find out where the next race is. In the case, it depends on what your sport is. In this case, with track and field, the Diamond League series is the most prestigious, track and field series in Europe. It's the first one's here. We actually have it here at the Prefontaine meet in Oregon. Of course, TJ, right in your territory, right?
Yeah.
Have you been there before?
The pre-games are amazing.
Yeah, that was great. I got a chance to go last year and got a press pass and got in there and actually interviewed Allison Felix and all the top. And Mo Farah before he came super famous.
Yeah.
I was just like right next to him. He was just like a real humble guy, and it was amazing. Yeah, so great that we have one of the Diamond League series right here.
Cool.
So it was great. You could just walk around, and it was like being at the Olympics. All the top athletes were right there. They always are at the Prefontaine. So then they go on to these other meets in Europe, and so. You want to find out, for Shannon, I found out, where the next Diamond League race was and other, European races that are going on. And so I would follow that and find out how she was doing or what the next race she was doing. And you can find out online usually who the athletes are that will be competing so you know if they're there. And then you can send them a Skype saying, oh, I see you're going to be competing in the whatever, the German meet or the next meet coming up in France or something, or if you, as soon as a meet happens, then you can go online and find out the results, and then you can say congratulations, you got second or third or whatever, or here's something I noticed about the race, and we could work on maybe improving this part, your closing speed or something. So giving feedback even by what you see on the race. And the way that you can search on it is just search on that name. Like, for instance, you just search on that race, like Diamond League. Like Shannon Roberry actually won her first Diamond League race in London just a couple weeks ago. And so it's all over the Internet if you search on Diamond League London Diamond League race women's 3K because that's what she was running, a 3K, and then search on their name like Shannon Roberry, you can see the race on several different on YouTube and on all sorts of videos. So it's really important that I follow that, and usually when an athlete is racing and they do really well, then they're getting all kinds of media attention, and they don't have time to, you know, communicate with you as much. So if you can find out what they're doing and how they did and congratulate them, it shows that you're following what they're doing and that you really have an interest, and that helps to build the relationship a lot. But anyway, going back to the Olympics in London, we just had that first meeting with Shannon here really quickly before she left for London. But then, because I had that relationship, we were able to communicate by Skype, and then we'd have did Skype calls, which are free to do online, and we do those every few days, kind of thing, leading up to London to the Olympics. So it was great, and then I was able to go there. If you want to go to a major event like that, like the Olympics, it's like almost impossible to go unless you're, independently wealthy as far as paying for a hotel or something. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like I've called up before, and the travel agents or whatever will say, oh, yeah, it's all the hotels are $1,000 a night, 3 week minimum. 3 week minimum, $1,000 a night. That's like $21,000. I don't think so. It's ridiculous. So the only way I've been able to go is just find, if you know somebody or have a friend of a friend of a friend or something that you can stay with, you try to find a private party that you can stay with there. And start working on it a year early or so, if you want to go to a major event like the Olympics. So I've been fortunate enough to be able to find a friend or a past client or someone that could help so I could stay at their place. So I had a client over there I'd worked with in London who had a horse ranch, and so I stayed there. I helped her through the a marathon. And so I was really grateful to be able to stay there, because you can't stay with the athletes. Of course, they're in the Olympic Village and all. But so I was able to work with Shannon, leading up to the race and throughout it. And then she got sixth in the, made it into the, there's all the rounds, you have to go through the first round of qualifiers and the quarterfinals and semifinals and, depending on what event it is, how many rounds there are. And then after each of those rounds, you can talk to them. We would talk about how she did and what she could improve on and what, how she got boxed in or how she could kind of stay clear. And we talked about this, in terms of mental training, a tiger mentality. I think I mentioned that last year when I talked about her. I said, well, what kind of qualities would, embody the, you're the kinds of qualities that you, what animal would embody the qualities that you want to have as an athlete? And she said, a lion? No, I think a tiger. And she chose a tiger because it's aggressive and it's very, strategic, and it saves its energy, and then just it waits until just the right moment, and then just at the right time it just launches forward and it attacks its prey. And so that's the kind of thing, the mentality you want to have out on the track, is saving your energy and then being able to go for it just at the right time, make your move. So we worked on that tiger mentality a lot. So, and she ended up, doing well there. She was frustrated. She wanted to get a medal, but was frustrated that she got sixth, but it was still a good placing. And then usually after the Olympics, you don't hear from them for a long time. And so she was off doing other things. What happened was, here's an example of how you could work with an athlete, even if you haven't communicated with them for a long time. Because I was at, the Nationals were coming up in Des Moines, Iowa, a couple months ago for the Nationals that would decide who's going to go compete in the World Championships. And I hadn't talked with Shannon. I realized at the last minute, oh, my gosh, the Nationals are coming up. Shannon's probably there. I should do something to help. And, of course, she's already there and, busy and all. And so I just thought, well, I have all my notes from when we talked before. I know what she needs and what would be most helpful, even though I hadn't talked with her recently. I said, I'm just going to go ahead and make an MP3, make a new visualization to maybe help her to qualify at the Nationals. So I made this MP3 and sent it to her, and it turns out that she received it on the night when she didn't. She tried to do the 1,500 meters, and she got in that worst possible position, which is fourth place, because only the first three make it to the World Championships. And so, but she still had a chance the next day to run, that was the 1,500 meters, and she didn't make it and was in a really down spot, and the next day was the 5,000. She could still try to compete in that. So I got this wonderful email from her the next day saying, oh, my gosh, thank you so much, Dr. Joanne, for your MP3. It arrived at just the right time. I was in a really down place after, not making it in the 1,500, and I listened to your MP3, three times. And the next day I made it, that gave me the inspiration. And, in the 5K the next day to she went from, she was way the heck back there, 6th, 8th place, so far back you couldn't even see her on the track, and then she just went for it that last, the last 100 meters and was able to pass, five people and make the team. So she said, I just kept thinking to myself, Noni, Moscow, Noni, Moscow. And Noni is what she calls her grandmother who just passed away, and she had lots of, feelings about her, and so it gave her a lot of strength to be able to finish. So it was great. That's a way that you can make, even if you haven't talked with an athlete for a while, if you have notes from when you've worked with them, you can just make them an MP3 or an audio training of some sort and send it to them, and it can often, even though they're very busy, obviously, in, some competition, they know those MP3s are really powerful. And it really helped to make the difference for Shannon to actually make the team in the 5,000 meters. So she was very thankful and emailed me. And then, it's so neat for me as a, and for you as a coach, you can watch, and then you get on TV and you watch the next day and you see them. It was televised on NBC, the 5,000 meters with the Diamond League. The 5,000 meters at the Nationals, and she to see the results of your work there, and all of a sudden she's, makes this tremendous comeback. Who was the guy, TJ, are you there?
Yeah.
You probably know, what was his name, the guy, the Indian guy that made that huge comeback in the Olympics back in Mexico or wherever it was. That guy that was the 10,000 meter runner that, and his movies about him and all. Do you know who I mean?
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
Yeah, but it's kind of, if you think of it, let me know. I'll think of it. Shoot, I can't think right now, but it's like that, that kind of comeback is what she was able to do there, where, it's totally possible to come back. But she did, and so, yeah, it was exciting. So I wanted to just share that with you, that we're now continuing to work together, and she's in. So she was able to win her first Diamond League race in London, and that was at the Olympic Stadium, because they were celebrating 1 year, the 1 year anniversary of when the Olympics were in that Olympic Stadium there. So she was actually able to win it in the Olympic Stadium, and she won $10,000, cash prizes there, and so she was real happy. Then she went to Switzerland to do altitude training for 2 weeks, and now she's on her way to Moscow, and then we'll talk this Friday. So let me ask you all, if you were working with Shannon or someone like that, and they're going for, and now she's in Moscow, so she's got to do the, and she's moving up from the 1500 to the 5000, which is a longer race. What kind of advice would you give her? What kind of tips would you give in terms of mental training? Yeah, TJ or Pam or anyone that's there?
Go ahead, TJ.
No, I'm thinking.
Just to kind of you know, get your idea, help get you thinking here. And
I don't know. I kind of want to talk to her and see what she found the most helpful, you know, from your prior MP3 stuff that you had done. And then do that, and then maybe talk to her a little bit about what her thoughts are. I mean, because 1,500 to 5,000, that's a huge jump. Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, for track runners, it's enormous. So I guess I'd maybe want to work with her to get more power words that had to do more with kind of endurance and kind of sticking with it, because 1,500, I mean, that's kind of over before you realize it. And the 5,000 and the 10,000 are like, I mean, those are long races.
Yeah.
So it seems to me there should be some more words and power words and stuff used with her that have to do with, like, you know, maybe even come up with another phrase of, like, you know, I'm going the distance, or I'm going the distance, or I'm sticking with it. You know, just something where it's like longer. Like, you have to get your mind into that. I have to be out here for a much longer time than I was before. So I don't know what her words would be for that, but I think I'd want to just have a little conversation about that. And, you know, what do you think about when you think about going running longer? What, you know, what are the things that you love about running longer, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and that race is not just longer, it's harder, too, because you're sucking air for a longer period of time. You know, you have to really dig deep to push yourself to stay consistent speed-wise and to even, you know, even go faster at the end when you're as tired as you are.
Yeah.
So it's part of what it is staying along with what TJ said, the power words, but how you can stay focused and hyper-focused how you get past the finish line.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, focusing on form and holding your form and holding it even when you're suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And what we did was, with Shannon, was one session was I asked her, tell me about the things that, you know, what's good about the 5K and what even better than the 1500. Like she was saying, you know, I might be able to do even better in the 5K than the 1500. She says, well, you know, it's more relaxed. It, you know, it's so frustrating in the 1500 because it's a lot of times it's about luck and tactics and, you know, you can get knocked down really easily and you have to be in the right place at the right time. You get boxed in and it's really aggressive out there. And, you know, the 1500 is more like a contact sport sometimes. Right?
Yeah.
You see people getting knocked down and you work so hard and then you're just running in really close quarters. So it's more tense and nervous, whereas the 5K can be more relaxed because you've got more time. And so Shannon said, yeah, because 5K could be even a better event for me. It's not so much about tactics and luck, but more about being tough. And she said, you know, I have more control over what I do, more time to use my intelligence, more time to make the most out of my fitness because it's more spread out.
Mm.
So you can all those things we kind of brainstormed about what's better, what's good about the 5K. You know, you can let the race develop. It's more about commitment, about toughness and self-belief. So all those things, you know, when an athlete tells you all those things, you could basically, like TJ said, like you're saying, you could turn those into power words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just saying, yeah, I'm letting the race develop. I have even more commitment. I'm more mentally tough. I believe I can do this. And I've trained hard for this. This is a chance to show off all my hard work. So, you know, she says, you know, she's coming from a 1,500-meter background, coming into it tougher maybe in some ways because she's gotten accustomed to having all people around her all the time. So she's not worried about being bunched up. And so the 1,500 or the 5,000 then becomes a simpler race because it's not quite so bunched up. There's more room to breathe and, you know, and you can use, and then she can use her speed within the race. You know, if someone does pick it up during the race, then, you know, just having that confidence that she's has the 1,500 meter speed, she can, you know, pick it up. She says she's used to running 64 seconds per lap, and now in the 5,000 she'll be running more like 72 seconds per lap, which can seem like a walk in the park, right? Fast for all of us.
Yeah.
It's all relative,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it can seem easier, and then she can be, she has good top-end speed, so she could go for it at the end. So you could turn all those into power words and say to yourself, okay, I've got good top-end speed, and, yeah, I can pick it up when I need to, and all of that. So, yeah, that's a good suggestion, TV, about the power words for endurance, and then also power words for, you know, speed, you know, using speed within the race and strength, right? So, yeah, and then patience. Is a big thing too, to say have patience, being smart early, you know, not going out too fast, knowing yourself early on. So we went through kind of all of those things that are good about the 5K, even better than the 1500 meters, and that really helped. And then I made her an MP3 about that, and then anything personal that the athlete has that you can bring in can help a lot too. You know, she talked about Noni, which is her grandmother who passed away recently, and she said, I carry her with me. I feel her presence out there. She's still there, and she can still talk to me, and so she said her energy can help fill me up and give me that extra little boost. So I used all of that. You know, we talked about that and how she can, you know, pretend like she's, like Noni is out there with her on the track and all. And if you have a story yourself that relates to the athlete, anything that they are experiencing that is similar to what you've gone through, it's okay to share that, and it can really help build a relationship. So when she talked about that, you know, I shared, you know, of course you don't want to share your whole life story because it's more about them and not about you. But if you do have a story that relates to them, that can be really powerful. So I, you know, because my mother passed away just recently as well, and so I run for her, you know, just like Shannon's running for her grandmother. So I shared that, you know, and how I used to, and just share a little story. You know, I shared how I used to go to the nursing home, and my mom was 91 years old, and she couldn't do much for herself, you know, at that point. But I'd go there, and she would understand love, and I'd go and stroke her hair and brush her teeth and give her a massage and talk to her. You know, and I'd say, the last thing I would say each night was, Mom, I love you, Mom. And she'd say, I love you too, honey. And I'd hear those words. I'd hear her voice. And as I was saying that, it's just like Shannon says, oh, my gosh, there's like tears coming down my eyes right now. And she just, I would get emotional, and, you know, she felt so much exactly what I was feeling, the same thing. And it really, you know, it gave us a bond there, because we both have something, kind of a reason that we're running for someone in our lives. And she did that. It made it really powerful for her. We had that conversation the night before she ended up winning the London race, you know, the Diamond League. She won her first Diamond League race in London, and won, you know, the 3K there. And so that conversation, I mean, she said it really helped her to, you know, inspire her to run for her grandmother. So, and at the finish line, I said, what do you do at the finish line? She has a ring that she wore for her grandmother, for Noni, and she would kiss the ring that her grandmother gave her, and that was like her anchor, right? So it's really powerful that we could both share that. And so, you know, if you notice anything that you have that's in common with that other person, if they live in the same town or have had the same experience with a family member or had the same feelings or something, you know, it's okay to share that with them, what you've gone through, right? So it's great. So that inspired her to actually win the race the next day. And that's in front of a stadium. There were 70,000 people, she said, in that stadium there. And then on it's televised, you know, for millions of people, you know, throughout Europe and here and stuff. So, I mean, tons of people saw that. And she was it was really exciting for her to win her first Diamond League race. So, you know, it was great. So that was an example of how you can use your, you know, stories and your experiences too. So, let's see, other things. And by the way, do you guys have any questions, or do you have questions that come up along the way here?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So just some other things here. How to find professional athletes to work with. There's all kinds of ways you can, you know, find media people like I did. There's, you know, people that go to races if you know, or sporting events, people there that are reporting on the race. Often they know, if they've been around for a while, they know the athletes. And if you can get a relationship with them, then you can ask, you know, which athletes do you think, you know, is there one that's injured or somebody that needs help with, you know, the mental part of their events, and oftentimes they'll tip you off and or say, "Oh yeah, so and so here," you know, and they usually the media people have all the contact information for those athletes, so they can point you in the right direction, or they could share some, or maybe they could introduce you to one of the athletes there. So you can ask them. Other sources are coaches, coaches that private coaches or for clubs. Or high school coaches, college coaches, you can ask them. You can, you know, which athletes need help, or have them, or work with a whole team, kind of thing, like you are, Pam. And and then there's so you can ask them which athletes are in special need of help. And going to sporting events is great if you can get a media pass. Like I've mentioned before, just go online and click on the event and then click on media or press room, and usually there'll be a little application there to fill out and just say you'd like to be get a media pass. And you can say it's for your book or your website, or if you get anything that you can write for a local magazine or newspaper, then you can write for that. And usually it's pretty easy to get a media pass for events, unless it's the Olympics or something. Then you have to work a little harder. But if you go get the media pass, then you can go there and interview the athletes right on the track or on the field, you know, right after the event. Often there's a press conference before the event, too, so you want to make sure you just go to that, and so that you can talk with the athletes there about the event, and then you can offer them, you know, to say, "I do, I'd be happy to make you an MP3 to help you with exactly what you need to, you know, to be ready for your event, or afterward, to, you know, for your next event." And I do it complimentary, you know, to be able to work with elite athletes, or to get in the door. You want to offer not all athletes, but just at least one or two, offer them your services for free to. At least for a session or two to be able to demonstrate what you can do. And usually they'll say yes, I've found, and then just say, "So what email would I send it to?" And that gives you a reason to ask for their email or their phone number, and just say, "Yeah, if you could have your phone number, then I can ask you a few questions about what your needs are and what your peak experiences are in the past." Then often they'll give you that too. Sometimes they'll give you their phone number. Sometimes they'll give you a contact of their agent, and then they can get in touch with the athlete. So, but most of the time, if you go to a local event, you know, you'll be able to get their information. And then other sources are your sports medicine doctor you go to, chiropractor. Often you can ask them if they know of athletes that. Athletes are coming in that are injured or recovering from something, and oftentimes they might need mental training to help accelerate their healing. So that's a great source for finding professional top athletes to work with. And also just your own online work, you know, blogging about that, that you work with top athletes. You can actually say on your website that you're, you know, you're offering to work with one or two top athletes work with mental training. And if you say that, and here's where to contact, often, you know, they may contact you, or say if you know someone that may need this kind of help, you know, you may get some really great athletes to work with that way. You could do that through your blog or through articles, or if you write a book, you know, always put your website and contact information in there. And that's a great way to build credibility, too. And strategies, so then also my strategies for getting in the door are go to, rather than, you know, waiting for them to come to you, you want to be able to go to them, to their events, to their school, or to their coach, wherever they are. And one example of that is just a couple weeks ago here, there was a major tennis tournament, the Bank of the West Women's Championship, professional women's tennis tournament here at Stanford University. They have it every year in July. I've always wanted to be a part of that of some sort, but it's such a huge event. It's the longest-standing women's-only professional women's tennis tournament in the world. It's been going on since 1997, and you know, Serena Williams has been there, and all the top athletes have come at some point. And so that was going on, but you know, I didn't have a way to get in the door. But someone found, if you have your website up and it talks about, and it, make sure you put your address on your website where you're located, so the people, coaches and other people can find you, then oftentimes they may just come to you. So, you know, I just got a call from a coach, a local coach that was, he says, he called me up and he said, oh, yeah, I was just looking on the web. I started doing a search for sports psychology or for mental training, and I saw, or maybe searched on coaches, of some mental coaches, and I always ask them what words they use to search for, and he said, I found you, that you're local here in San Carlos, and so he's in Redwood City, and so he has an athlete, a professional women's tennis player he's working with that's going to be playing at Stanford there at the Bank of the West Women's Tournament, and wondered if I could work with her. So I said, yeah, you could, we can set up a time, and he asked, what are your rates and all that, and so I told him that, and but then he, so he wasn't expecting to do it for free, which was nice. Always find out what they're expecting first. Don't offer to do it for free and initially, just because they may be willing to pay you, and that's much better. Of course, so he said that they could come over, but then he called back and said, oh, it was so busy because they're trying to get everything ready here at and running back and forth at Stanford. You know, I don't think we're going to be able to do it. And I said, well, I'm only 10 minutes from there. So I said, well, why don't I, how about this? I'll just come over there and talk, because I really wanted to be a part of that in some way. And so I said, how about if I come meet you after one of your practices there? Her name's Yelena. And so he said, oh, okay. So then they're much more willing if you're willing to come over. So I said, he said, well, she's just finishing a training, a practice, so we're going to go to a bakery here and, you know, cafe and just have something to eat outside. So I went there and met them. So that made it all happen, the fact that I was able to go there and meet with them. So if you can, you know, go out of your way, and even if it's close by, at least, you know, go where the athlete is and meet with them for that first visit, it can make a huge difference. Because I ended up talking with them there in an outdoor cafe and talked with the coach and the athlete. We talked for 2 hours or so. And what I did at that meeting then was I brought a clip. You want to bring your clipboard and a piece of paper so you can write down notes and your, you know, pen, of course, and always bring your business cards or something to give them. And so just went through, you know, what I would normally do in a session, and I would talk with them first, build a relationship, and the coach talked about the problem areas that, you know, Yelena wasn't focusing enough, and maybe it was when she'd get, you know, things would start to go south, go in a negative way, she'd start to show that in her body, and then you know, the other player would kind of take over. So those were some of the problems. And so we and then I asked Elaine about a peak experience where she did really well, and she had won a major tournament in Australia. So she talked about that, and so I went through all the details, you know, my pre-assessment, pre-visualization assessment with her, and I wrote down all the details right there. And then I said, there wasn't time right there. I didn't have my computer with me to make an MP3, but I said, I'll just go home right away here and make an MP3 for you based on this. And she was starting the next day, the qualifiers. So, you know, if you can, you know, in the case of a top athlete like that, you know, really go out of your way to help them. And I did that free of charge because I just wanted to, you know, get in the door sort of thing at the at that tennis tournament. And so I then I went, so I had all this information. I had a great, you know, gained a great relationship with them. So then what you can do is just go home and make the MP3 on your own, record it based on what the information that you got in the pre-assessment. So I did that right away. I emailed it to her. You know, make sure you get the athlete's contact info, her email address. Try to get all three things, email, you know, cell phone, and Skype name, because often they'll be traveling to another country. And so, like, she's up in Vancouver now, so then you can still communicate and do sessions by Skype for free. So I got her information, and then I went home, made the MP3, emailed it to her right away, and then she listened to it right away that night before her first match, and she said it made a huge difference. I went to the match the next day. Then if you can actually go and attend the you know, the event where they're playing and watch them and take notes of what kinds of things were going on, then you can, that's really a great way to then be able to have good information of things to work on. So I talked with her, and I watched the whole match, and yeah, made notes, and then right afterward, I met. I was able to go to the side of the court and meet with her and her coach and talk a bit about, kind of recap what happened. And the coach said to me, he said, "Yeah, I noticed Yolanda was using a lot of the techniques that we talked about yesterday." So that was a great, you know, testimonial right there. And I was able to get a little video testimony. I brought my video camera, so Elaine was able to give. I said, "Could you make a few comments about, you know, our work?" Normally, I'd wait, you know, till I kind of had more of a relationship and worked with somebody for a little while to ask for a testimonial. But you have to kind of go with your gut with what. She was happy with what happened, and we had a good relationship. So I said, "Oh well, I'll just go for it here." Give it a shot. You gotta go with what you feel, because in lots of cases you might not ever see that athlete again, or they might be off, you know, traveling all over the place. So you might not have that video opportunity. So since she was right here at Stanford, I said, I'll give it a shot here. And so she, yeah, said some really nice things about our work together. So that was a example of how you could work with a professional athlete and getting in the door kind of thing. Does that kind of make sense to you guys?
Yeah, that sounds really good. Listen, I have to go. I have a client coming in 5 minutes, so
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
today.
I got to go too. So
okay. Thank you both for attending, and yeah, for your time and for your great stories. And congratulations, TJ, on your Iceland 50K.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah.
All right, thanks. I'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Okay, yeah, and I'll... we'll talk more next time. We can have more to talk about how to do your research before talking to your athlete and having your first conversation and kind of overcoming your fears. We can talk
Excellent.
More about that next time. Yeah, which would
Sounds
be August,
great.
Okay, August 22nd. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
See you then.
Okay, have a great
All right, thanks, Joanne. Bye.
Okay, bye.